Welcome to Dolly Shares, a show where Dolly Howard shares her experiences, thoughts, and emotions as only Dolly can. This is a pre-recorded presentation.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to number 14, pre-recorded Dolly Shares, coming to you from Dolly World. I'm Dolly Howard, and I'm recording this on Monday, May 28, 2018. This is the day those of us in the USA celebrate Memorial Day. And I thought, well, seeing as it's Memorial Day, why don't I research it a little bit and share what I find? And that led me to the draft that we have over here in the United States. So I'll be sharing what I found on that too. I didn't realize I was going to get serious today. But I'll get as serious as I can, which isn't all that serious, so don't get upset. First, I researched Memorial Day. And so I thought, well, I'll look it up on Wikipedia.org. So I did. I did a general search then, and then I narrowed it down to that. So I found this next section that I'll read to you at this site that I'm going to give you. It's HTT, like Tom Tom, P like Peter, S like Sam, colon, /, or is that /? It's /, E-N, dot, W-I-K-I-P like Peter, E-D like dog, I-A, dot, O-R-G, /WIKI/, capital letter M like Mary, E-M-O-R-I-A-L, underline, capital D-A-Y. And that's where I found what I'm going to read to you now. Memorial Day, or otherwise known as Decoration Day, is a federal holiday in the United States for remembering the people who died while serving in the country's armed forces. The holiday, which is currently observed every year on the last Monday of May, will be held on May 28, 2018, which is today that I'm recording. The holiday was held on May 30 from 1868 to 1970. It marks the unofficial start of the summer vacation season, while Labor Day marks its end. Many people visit cemeteries and memorials, particularly to honor those who have died in military service. Many volunteers place an American flag on each grave in national cemeteries. And that's a sight for people to see all the American flags in the national cemeteries flying on all of the graves of the service people. Kind of tears me up. Memorial Day is not to be confused with Veterans Day. Memorial Day is a day of remembering the men and women who died while serving, whereas Veterans Day celebrates the service of all U.S. military veterans. Hold on, I want to make an edit there. Yeah. It is also not to be confused with Armed Forces Day, which is a minor U.S. remembrance celebrated earlier in May, which specifically honors those currently serving in the U.S. military. those who are alive and breathing. I wish we didn't have a Memorial Day. I wish those people didn't have to go wherever they were stationed, and put their lives on the line. And most of them have lost it, their lives, who are in those cemeteries because of wars. The ones who made it through the wars and lived out normal, hopefully happy lives, they also can be buried, have their bodies buried in a national cemetery. So not all the people in the national cemeteries have died in the wars, but they've been in the service. And most of them in the wars, I suppose. It's just so sad that presidents can say, well, your kids have to go here. Your husbands have to go here. They have to do this. Because not only does it affect the... And wives now. And wives and daughters and sisters. And it's both men and women these days. And presidents send our people to where they can be maimed and killed and hurt emotionally and mentally. But I have yet to know of any president's child who's been in the military, which kind of pisses me off. Okay, not kind of. Exceedingly so. And a lot of them didn't even serve. I'm trying to think who served. Probably the earlier ones. If any. Anyway, I wish we didn't have to have this frickin' Memorial Day remembering. I just wish that there were no wars. But I can't change the past. I can only live the now and pray for the future. Okay, so that's why we celebrate Memorial Day. And as I was looking at Memorial Day stuff and remembering, because that's another reason I'm emotionally upset, is I'm a baby boomer. A lot of my guys that I went to school with went over to the Vietnam War. And many of them did not come back alive. Their bodies were shipped back. And so it makes me sad. I especially remember Mike Holmes. He and I were sitting across the table from each other in study hall when the announcement of Kennedy's death came over the intercom, and we looked at each other and held each other's hands. We didn't understand. We knew it was something very serious. President Kennedy was dead. I mean, we sat there, what? President Kennedy is dead? I looked at Mike and I said, what now? Is there going to be war? And he said, I don't know. Well, he ended up, of course, in the draft. sent over to Vietnam. He married his girlfriend before he left. And he wasn't over there 6 weeks when he was reported KIA. And it was so sad. KIA is killed in action. But he was killed by friendly fire. Friendly fire is our firing on the enemy. And he was killed by our own people. Not on purpose. They wouldn't have killed him on purpose. But the whole thing is that there was the war going on. He was drafted, had no choice, had to be there. And he left behind his family and his new wife and his friends. And I remember him vividly. I remember that moment because we've talked about Kennedy's assassination before and how it affected the people in those days, how it changed our lives completely, our way of thinking of the government. Truth started coming out to where we saw them. We finally saw what was being done to us. But anyway, I'm remembering especially Mike Holmes on this day. And I'm remembering Jim Bonner on this day. And so many of the other ones. I remember y'all. And I honor you. And I'm grateful to you. I know you didn't want to be there. And I appreciate you so much. I love you. Okay, now, that's my Memorial Day tears. My ex-husband was over in Nam for 3 tours on land. He was on the Bonham Richard for 6 months, and then he signed up for 3 tours on land over there. He came back alive, though. He was one of the fortunate ones. Now, I also got to thinking about the draft. So I did some research on the draft. I don't know if a lot of you out there know about the draft or what it is or that it exists or anything like that. So I was in Wikipedia, so I just looked it up in Wikipedia, and here's the site I went to for that, /ENWIKIPEDIA:/WIKICPEDIA:/UNITED, United. Okay, and that's from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. Conscription in the United States, commonly known as the draft, has been employed by the federal government of the United States in 5 conflicts. 1, the American Revolution. 2, the American Civil War. 3, World War I. 4, World War II. 5, the Cold War, which is including both the Korean War and the Vietnam War. The third incarnation of the draft came into being in 1940 through the Selective Training and Service Act. It was the country's first peacetime draft. From 1940 until 1973, during both peacetime and periods of conflict, men were drafted to fill vacancies in the United States Armed Forces that could not be filled through voluntary means. And here, if you go to that site that I just gave you, you'll see a whole bunch of stuff, details about the different wars and the different things that were laws in effect and all that. I just don't want to do all that. But I was interested to hear or to see this, and I want to share it with you. Here's what Daniel Webster had to say in December 9, 1814, in his House of Representatives address. Daniel Webster, December 9, 1814, told the House of Representatives, "The administration asserts the right to fill the ranks of the regular army by compulsion. Is this, sir, consistent with the character of a free government? Is this civil liberty? Is this the real character of our Constitution? No, sir. Indeed, it is not. Where is it written in the Constitution? In what article or section is it contained that you may take children from their parents and parents from their children and compel them to fight the battles of any war in which the folly or the wickedness of government may engage it? Under what concealment has this power lain hidden, which now for the first time comes forth with a tremendous and baleful aspect to trample down and destroy the dearest rights of personal liberty?" That's what Daniel Webster said to those assholes. I take my hat off to him. Okay, so further research on this draft stuff I found at https://www.thebalancecareers.com/, and then it's all dashes. Okay. So after you do the balancecareers.com/allaboutabout-the-draft-draft, and then these are numbers, 333-2963. This is the site where I got the rest of this stuff for you. For me, basically, but I decided I'm going to share it with you all because maybe some of you out there aren't aware of this like I wasn't. It's titled U.S. Military Draft, United States Selective Service System by Rod, R-O-D, Powers, P like Peter, O-W-E-R-S. And it was updated on February 14, 2018. So this is pretty up to date. A few months back, the Armed Forces of the United States maintains their readiness through voluntary enlistment, but the law requires young men to register through the Selective Service System. This allows a draft to be activated if needed, as was used during the Vietnam War. The draft was not used for the Gulf War or the War on Terrorism. The information below is available in more detail at Selective Service System. Hold on, I want to do this. Okay, I did that. Now let me check this. I don't want that stuff. Okay, there. Who must register with the Selective Service System? Now, this is very interesting to me. Almost all male U.S. citizens must register with the Selective Service System. And male aliens living in the U.S. who are 18 through 25 years of age are required to register with the Selective Service as imposed by the Military Selective Service Act. And it's got some bullet points here. So let me do these bullet points. Hold on, I'm fixing this up too. First bullet point. Even non-citizens, now this was a complete shocker to me, even non-citizens must register if they are not in the U.S. on a valid student or visitor visa or part of a diplomatic or trade mission. Selective Service does not collect or share information on immigration status, undocumented as well as legal permanent residents must register if they came to the country before their 26th birthday. Dual nationalists must register. So it doesn't matter if you're a citizen or not, or if you have dual citizenship, you have to register before your 26th birthday, if you came to the country before the 26th birthday. Wow. I really had no idea. Of course, if they register for the service, they're going to be found out that they're illegals, I would think. So, if they're illegal to start with, what would make them think they're going to go and register? That's one of those, So it says that, but who's going to abide by it? Excuse me, I needed a drink. Here's another bullet point. If you are hospitalized or incarcerated, you don't have to register until you are discharged if you are still below the age of 26. Interesting. I thought they didn't take people who had been incarcerated. I did not know that. Okay, so another bullet point. If you are disabled, you must still register if you can leave your home and move about independently. I didn't know that either. Another bullet point. Transgender rules. If you were born female and had a gender change to a male, you don't have to register. If you were born male and had a gender change to a female, you must register. I'm not even going to comment. Next bullet point. Women and people born female. What? Women and people born female are not required to register, But that can be changed if Congress changes the law. Okay, so women and people born female. If you're born female, wouldn't that make you a woman? Women and people born female. Oh, that could be the transgender. All right, I'm getting it. Phew. I got myself really confused on that one. So if you're a transgender who changed to a woman, who changed to a woman, then you don't have to okay, I'm confused. Transgender rules. If you were born female and had a gender change to male, you don't have to register. So that would be considered that woman in the next bullet point. Okay. But if you're born a male and changed to a female gender, then you have to register. Oh boy. Okay. Last bullet point. There is no exemption for only sons. That means, like, if the parents have children and there's just one son in the family, that's the only son they're talking about among daughters. There is no exemption for only sons. Last son to carry the family name, like if all of that boy's brothers were killed or died for some reason, and he's the last son in the family to carry the name or sole surviving son. That means, let me read it from the beginning. There is no exemption for only sons, last sons to carry the family name, or sole surviving sons. So there's no frickin' exemptions anymore. Tough shit. Okay, now here's a section entitled, What is the Draft? I think I should go into that. President Franklin Roosevelt signed the Selective Training and Service Act of 1940, which created the country's first peacetime draft and formally established the Selective Service System as an independent federal agency. Even before this, our country has a long history of drafting citizens to serve in the armed forces. From 1948 until 1973, during both peacetime and periods of conflict, men were drafted to fill vacancies in the armed forces, which could not be filled through voluntary means. The draft ended in 1973, and the U.S. converted to an all-volunteer military. Oh, but wait, folks. The registration requirement was suspended in April 1975. It was resumed again in 1980 by President Carter in response to the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Registration continues today as a hedge against underestimating the number of servicemen needed in a future crisis. The obligation of a man to register is imposed by the Military Selective Service Act. The Act establishes and governs the operations of the Selective Service System. So they had it suspended. The registration requirement was suspended in April 1975, and it was resumed 5 years later in 1980 by President Carter. Short reprieve there for the men, for the guys, for the boys, our boys. Okay, here's a section called Draft Lottery System. This will explain a little further on the draft lottery. Let me check. What time? Oh, I have half an hour left. Well, after Congress voted and the president signed the law to reinstate the draft, the Selective Service would be activated and they would initiate a draft lottery, which is based on the birth dates of registrants. The National Institute of Standards and Technology, which is also known as N like Nancy, IST, or N like National, developed a unique random calendar and number selection program for Selective Service. Using this random selection method for birthdays, each day of the year is selected by computer in a random manner. And that date is placed in a capsule and loaded in a large drum on a random basis. By the same method, numbers from 1 to 365, and in parentheses it has 366 for men born in a leap year. Oh, that creeps. They even include the leap year day. Oh. Are also, well, I guess it only makes it fair, those who are born on a leap day. Let me start this over. This is so upsetting to me. By the same method, numbers from 1 to 365 or 366 if you're born in a leap year are also selected in a random fashion, placed in capsules, and the capsules are placed into a second drum. Official observers certify that the capsule filling and the drum loading are conducted according to established procedures. This certification is secured to each drum. They are sealed and placed in secure storage. Here is how the lottery would work. One capsule is drawn from the drum containing birth dates, January 1 through December 31. One capsule is then drawn from the drum containing the sequence numbers from 1 through 365 or 366 if the draft will call men born during a leap year. And the date and number are paired to establish the sequence number for each birth date. This is done in full view of all observers, officials, and the media. Registrants with low lottery numbers are ordered to report for a physical, mental, and moral evaluation at a medical entrance processing station to determine whether they are fit for military service. Once he is notified of the results of the evaluation, a registrant will be given 10 days to file a claim for exemption, postponement, or deferment. Let me read that one part. I'm so confused on how they put these numbers together. Okay, so I wish you all could talk to me. Here's how the lottery would work. One capsule is drawn from the drum containing birth dates January 1 through December 31. Okay, so we get the dates. One capsule is then drawn from the drum containing the sequence numbers from 1 through 365. And the date and the number are paired to establish the sequence number for each birth date. And the date and number are paired to establish the sequence number for each birth date. Oh, bless your hearts if you understand that. I sure as heck don't. Anyway, that's how they do it. technically. The MEPs, M like Mary, E, P like Peters, would then apply a classification to the inductee. Each inductee is classified based on their beliefs and circumstances, determining who is deferred or exempted. Draft classifications. This will help to clear up that deferred or exempted. Classifications are only applied once the draft is activated by the Congress and the President. At that time, inductees are assessed and can apply for exemptions, deferments, and postponements from military service. A man may appeal his classification to a Selective Service Appeal Board. Here is a list of some, though not all, current classifications and what they mean. The most common codes are the following. 1A, available immediately for military service. 1O is a conscientious objector. 4F is not qualified for military service due to medical reasons. And that can include mental if they catch that in their medical record, in their medical examinations and put in the records. For all the codes available to students, religious followers, or other reasons, see Official Selective Service page. So you can go to the Official Selective Service site and find out more of that stuff if you're interested. New section. Let me take a drink. This is just so upsetting to me. Playing with us peons' lives. Because if you look at the politicians, how many of their lives are affected by any of this? How many of their kids' lives are affected by any of this? Ha! Okay. Calm myself down. Bless them! Oh, that's something new I'm learning. I'm trying. I'm doing. Implementing in my life. Rather than get upset with someone and curse them and bitch at them and be mean, I decided I'm trying to be nice. I want to be nice. And so I decided to say, bless them. And that's a more positive reaction coming from me to them and not negative to them. Like calling them names or telling them to go to hell or things like that. Instead, now I say, bless them. And I've told my kids, and Annette will call me on it. Every once in a while I'll slip and I'll call somebody a name. Not so nice name. And they'll say, oh, there goes that niceness. So then I say, oh, please forgive me. And then I bless them. So I'm trying to do that. So bless them. Now, this new section. Hold on just a minute. Let me see how many other sections I have versus how much time. That's pretty close to the end. Okay. And what's my time-wise? It's 38 minutes into this. Okay. All voluntary military. This is a new section. House shortages are addressed without a draft. In an age of no draft, the ways to increase recruiting numbers fall on the addition of bonuses, recruiting incentives, education benefits, and reducing stiff recruiting standards. For instance, age, criminal offenses, education standards. In 2005, the Army had a tough 4-month period where they missed their monthly recruiting goals. and then their annual recruiting goal by about 8,000 troops. This was because Congress had authorized the active duty Army to increase by 20,000 troops, and the Army tried to do this all in one year. Sounds like them. Troops is a man or a woman these days. And that the individuals are called a troop. I always thought troops meant you have so many in a group, but no, troops are individuals. Okay. Instead of a draft, the Army addressed the issue by adding more recruiters, implementing new recruiting incentives, including increasing enlistment bonuses and raising the maximum enlistment age. The Army also accepted more prior service applications, set higher college loan repayment limits, and increased the Army College Fund contributions. The active duty services were able to meet their recruiting goals. In other words, they were bribing people. Reasons why a draft is highly unlikely in the future. Unless it is total World War III, reinstating the draft would have a negative impact on today's military, if any immediate impact at all. The draft is not a quick fix. Training considerations. Oh, there's more bullets now, and this is the first bullet under the category, reasons why a draft is highly unlikely in the future. Training considerations. The military has been an all-volunteer service of highly trained professionals who have committed themselves to serving. During that time, the military has dramatically and successfully changed the way it trains and the way it fights. To implement a draft, the military would have to change the entire way that it trains and operates today. Another bullet, no immediate answer. It would take 18 to 24 months to recruit and train draftees and form them into new combat units. So the war would be over by the time they're trained, in other words. Or so we'd hope. Or not hope, I don't know. Next bullet, standards would drop. With the military composed of volunteers, the services have been able to impose strict qualifications for duty. If we were to reinstate the draft and the military was forced to accept everyone, regardless of criminal records, test scores, or medical qualifications, the armed forces would be larger but less effective. See, that's where I was right on my thought that they don't take people with criminal records anymore. Next bullet. High costs. We cannot afford to bring even a small percentage of our 18 to 25-year-old population into active duty. Mandatory service would add millions of men to the roles of what is already the highest military budget in the world. They would have to be trained, fed, clothed, equipped, and housed. They would at times require medical attention. Additional barracks would have to be built, plus married soldiers would receive housing allowances. And that is the end of what I found and thought that I would share with you all on the draft. It's just, I don't understand. So, do our people, do our boys, our men, have to register now or not? I'm so confused on that part, y'all. Because in one place, didn't I read that they have to register, and then toward the end it says they don't? But I didn't find a rule or a law where it said yes, where it said they don't have to register. I didn't find that. But it might be out there. I could have researched very badly, which I can definitely understand, because I get so worked up about wars and the devastation of the wars, not just for the people and the countries whose countries are being devastated. I mean, there's that bone, that thing too. It's not a bonus. That was a word that was going to come out. It's not a bonus to have your country devastated. No, it's awful. It's terrible. What right do they have to do that? Punish all the civilians just because of a few of the bad guys over there. It isn't right. There needs to be a way that they can get to the bad guys without hurting the innocents. The innocent people, children. And I know, like in Nam, the children would be wired to, what do you call those things? Grenades. So they realize that the Americans are very into babies. Oh, cute little baby. And they see an abandoned baby, they want to pick it up. We lost a lot of men, a lot of women too. More so men than women at that point. Because they'd go pick up a baby and the grenade was rigged up to go off, and so the baby and the man, or the person picking up the baby, are blown up. Blown to smithereens. They use the children. The babies. So, in Vietnam especially, that I know about, you couldn't even trust a child. An innocent child you had to look upon with doubt. It's so sad. So sad. And I'm hoping and praying and working toward the goal where our collective conscious minds are thinking peace. No wars. We handle things with words. Handle things in better ways than hurting, killing, maiming, crushing people's mental abilities, emotions. I'm hoping and praying and sending out good thoughts, good energies, love and acceptance, and trying to be non-judgmental. Put yourself in the other person's place. Try to walk in their shoes. You don't know what's going on in their background. I mean, not all the time can you ever walk in anyone's shoes. I mean, you can't understand what happened to them this morning. Did they get up and it was a nice sunny day and it was comfortable in the house and they had a nice breakfast to eat? Or did they wake up on the street, try to figure out where they could take the clean up to go to a job that they were able to get, that didn't pay them enough money to even put together to get a place to live off the street, but they're getting money to get to be able to eat?
You don't know.
You don't know if that person came from a good place in the morning or a bad place. So try not to be so judgmental on each other. I know I went through a time when, oh my gosh, I was the worst person in the universe to be judgmental. Well, I'd just look at somebody and make a judgment, and that was it. You couldn't talk me out of it. Who the heck did I think I was? Shame on me. So, thank God, I don't know how it happened, who came into my life, what happened in my life to make me realize. You know what? Dave's sitting here telling me. He's standing here telling me, Dolly, it was your life that made you realize it. You taught yourself. I was raised in a judgmental atmosphere. That's what I was programmed. That's what I was trained, being judgmental. Don't allow any leeway in there. Just look at the person and make your judgment and be done with it. Especially when it comes to race, I was raised in one of those houses where the N-word was used, even though it hurt me to hear it. Every time I heard it, it hurt. It physically hurt because I knew it wasn't right. I just knew it wasn't right. And I know the black people have words for the white people. And the Indian people and the Chinese people and the Russian people and the Scottish and the, you know, everybody has to work through that kind of a feeling if they have that kind of feelings. The judgmental, the discriminatory type feelings. But I thank God that I finally did realize that's not really a nice way to live at all. And beware how you judge, because you will be judged too. I think of that every once in a while. I don't want to be judged so harshly. I would rather have love thrown at me than than hate. And I would rather throw love than hate, because it's going to come back at you 100-fold. What you send to the universe, you get back. 100-fold is what I've been told. I don't want to get back even just an even percentage if I throw out bad stuff. I don't. But actually, when I was learning to not be so judgmentally, not be an asshole, it made me feel good to be in a loving spot rather than one of malicious intent and one of dislike and disharmony and try it sometime. Try if you feel so many objections against people without realizing how much objection you have within your being. Stop and think about it when you hear yourself or you feel yourself being judgmental. Stop right then and think about it and think, geez, why am I doing this? Why am I thinking and feeling this way toward that person? What'll happen if I look at him and I say with intent inside you, bless him, rather than curse him? Oh, just saying it right now. Bless him gives me these good fuzzy feelings. And when I said the curse them, oh, that gives me bad, cold goosebumps that are saying, you're not doing yourself a favor even in thinking along those lines. And so let me say bless them again, because I get the good feelings. Good atmosphere around me. My body feels good. My head feels good. Everything feels much better when I think in the positive. Bless them. I think I needed to give myself this lecture because I had gotten in such a bad place talking to y'all about Memorial Day and the draft. I really put myself in a bad place. So I don't have anybody to blame but myself for getting in that bad place. It says we don't have a draft anymore in the end, so I'm going to go with that. But I do remember my cousins having to register for the draft, and they were only a couple years younger than me, but when they turned 18, they had to go register for the draft, and they weren't liking it. A couple of them were saying they conscientious objectors or against their religion. But anyway, I wanted to share with y'all because I know we have a lot of listeners who aren't from the United States, and they're probably wondering, well, what is Memorial Day? Why is it? And what is this draft business, and why is it? And so I wanted to share that with y'all. And tell you that I am glad I live in the United States. I really am glad. I'm sorry for those who look at us like we're all the TV actors portraying a movie where we're so mean and we wear guns and pull them out and shoot people up and knives and shoot people up. Not everybody's like that. And it's like your country. You got the bad guys. And you got the good guys. It's same way in the United States. We got the bad guys, we got the good guys, and that includes gals. It's just that you hear more about the bad stuff because that sells news. But we have more good than bad. If you'd give us a chance, we could share it with you. And vice versa. If we give people who aren't from USA a chance, and look past the fact that they're foreigners, we can see the love in their lives, too, that they have to share. If we could just all look past and realize love really is the answer. Love makes the world go round. At least that's what I like to believe. I can't force that on anybody. I can just suggest it. Try it. You might like it. That's all you can do is try things. Try them for yourself. Don't take people's words for it. Try it for yourself. And be blessed. Oh, yeah, be blessed. I'm really on this kick now, so if you listen to any other shows, I happen to slip out with, bless them! You'll know I'm trying to make myself see the positive in the people and send love rather than be nasty and mean. Makes me laugh. The more I say bless them, the better I feel. And so, I have turned this into a pleasant thing for me in my life. And I hope you all can find your pleasant areas to live. It's not easy if you're in a bad place. But you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. That's for sure. And I hope none of you heard the hum that Colleen has been saying comes through. I turned off the AC, I turned off the dryer, I turned off the fan, so hopefully you won't hear a hum. If you do, it's got to do with the computer. So, bless it. Bless the computer, too. Okay, we're at the end of the show. And I really didn't think this would take a whole hour, but it did. I hope you've learned something out of this. I have. And I hope it's good in your life. It's just more knowledge in your life. And I'm going to say now, I love you. I'll talk with you next week, God willing. And I'll talk with you Saturday on Say What and Wednesday on Dolly Reads for you. Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. EST, Saturday 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Saturday is Say What. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Dolly Shares with Dolly Howard. Thank you for listening.